Hello, everyone. This is Robert Wilson, your host of the MP Access Show. On today's episode, we're diving into the future of AI risk and compliance with Alec Crawford, the founder and CEO of Artificial Intelligence Risk, Inc. Alec is an industry leader in AI safety, governance, and compliance, and he's here to share actionable insights for organizations looking to adopt AI responsibility. We'll explore topics like the four pillars of AI success: governance, risk management, compliance, and cybersecurity, along with real-world use cases for AI in industries like mortgage servicing. Plus, Alec shares essential advice on protecting your data, building an AI policy, and leveraging AI to make your business more efficient. This is an episode you don't want to miss. Stay tuned as we uncover the tools and strategies you need to embrace for AI safety and efficiency. Let's jump in. And hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are live right now on Five Star Conference 2024's floor. It is exciting. You can hear all the background noise. There's people walking all around. We just came out of our Keys for Life luncheon. You're listening to the MP Access Show with your host, VP of Marketing for Five Star, Robert Wilson. And I am sitting next to someone who needs no introduction. They are absolutely incredible. His name is Alec Crawford. He is the founder and CEO of Artificial Intelligence Risk, Inc., and he is here to provide us with all sorts of information. Alec, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing awesome, Robert. Thank you.
All right. So I see you're in Connecticut. Is that, are you coming from Connecticut right now? You fly in from Connecticut?
Yeah, I flew out of JFK. I'm about an hour from JFK. So, you know, it's a pretty easy flight.
Yeah, you know, it is a pretty easy flight. I used to have to go from the ESPN and over to JFK, so I know exactly how it is. So let's talk a little bit about the MTech Forum, which you'll be speaking about the Genie Unbottled, and that's implementing AI solutions in servicing. Could you just give us a quick preview of some of the things that you're going to cover in the sessions?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main one is really use cases. Like, what can you use AI for? And at this point, obviously, there are some pretty big, complicated documents that people are literally reading and typing numbers into a spreadsheet and things like that. And that can literally be automated with AI. And in some cases, you may want someone to double check it. But in most cases, the AI can get it right the first time. And believe me, typing numbers in a spreadsheet is not a really fun job. So that sounds pretty cool to me.
All right. So artificial intelligence has become a significant factor in many industries. How do you see AI transforming the mortgage servicing sector specifically?
Yeah, I think the main thing going on there is just making everyone more efficient, right? So payments come in, wait, where's this supposed to go? Like, someone didn't put their account number in here or whatever. Like, that can all be like automated, basically. All kinds of like stuff that before would have been a big pain becomes really, really easy to do. And honestly, like, the mortgage industry is going to have to walk before they run, right? Like, so let's start with some easy stuff. Like, get ChatGPT, a private version of ChatGPT up and running, where you can look up information on your clients and things like that before you all of a sudden say, we don't need that many people here anymore. We're just going to do it all with AI. That's not happening this week, I can tell you that.
So around 2 months ago, my family and I, extended family, we go on usually a big vacation every year. And I had my father and a couple of his brothers, so my uncles, and I was typing something into ChatGPT about how much we needed to split for the food cost that we were going to get for groceries for the whole family. It was going to be 25 or 28 people. And I was typing it in and they were like, oh my gosh, you're using ChatGPT and artificial intelligence and AI, and that's not safe and safe and safe and safe and safety. And they kept bringing up, like, I can't believe you're giving them all your information. And it's become such a a topic of conversation about the safety of artificial intelligence. Could you tell us a little bit about it and what are people talking about?
Yeah, I think there's safety and there's privacy, right? So I'm actually going to start with the privacy part, right? If you type something into ChatGPT or one of the public models, it's basically there forever. And you're like, well, how do you know it's there forever? I'm like, all right, go back and log in again and look at it. And your history is there. They're clearly keeping it, right? Like, so similar to, you know, Google and free Gmail and all that kind of stuff. Like, if it's free, you know, you're the product, right? Like, and they actually want people to come there and use it and interact because that helps make the models better. So that's a start. Like, if you're not paying for it, or if you're paying $20 a month, like, guess what? You're the product. So that's the start. So don't put anything confidential in there. Don't put your social security number in there. You know, there's a story about that was just making the rounds on LinkedIn a few days ago about how someone had their whole travel schedule on AI. Someone somehow intercepted it, and he was actually kidnapped in South Africa.
Wow.
And the kidnappers had gotten his travel information from the AI.
Wow.
Right. So privacy is a pretty big deal. Now, that could have happened a different way too, right? It could have been they hacked his Expedia account or something too. So I'm not saying there's not a different way they could have done that, but in this case, it was from AI. So obviously you need to be, you know, cautious about your confidential data, or even in some cases, in that case, your travel data. So that's privacy. In terms of safety, there's just such a wide array. I mean, we could sit here and talk about this for the rest of the day. It's the topic for, you know, 100 PhD theses, but pretty basic stuff. Think about what the European Union has done in their AI Act, right? They basically have told makers of AI, and users of AI, you got to categorize each of your AI systems for risk. Is it extremely high risk, meaning if something goes wrong, someone's going to die, right? Okay, well, then guess what? That's extremely high risk. You can't do it, right? You just can't use it, right, without some kind of human intervention. On the other hand, is super low risk stuff where you can basically do whatever you want. Like, hey, I've got an AI app that will help me choose what color matching for my tie and my shirt. Okay, all right, that's pretty low risk, right? If I wear the wrong color tie, no one's going to die, right? So, and then in between, you've got a fair amount of gray area, right? Of like, gee, what risk is this?
Yep.
Is this medium? Is it high? Is it low? And I think that's really where some of the difficulty is going to come in Europe, for example, and who gets to choose, right? So you start with that. And that's part of AI safety, but it's also kind of, you know, being safe with AI. And the primary thing there is, just the way you can't trust everything you read, or now can't trust everything you see because of deepfakes, definitely don't trust everything that comes out of AI, right? It could be wrong, right? And you want to, if it's important, you want to double check it, right? If you're just figuring out, you know, who had the most yardage and last Sunday's game, like whatever, right? Like if it's wrong, it's wrong. But if it's, hey, I got this new medical condition and I want to understand, you know, what medications I should be taking. No, talk to your doctor. Don't ask ChatGPT. That's a terrible idea.
So we're going to shift over now. Let's talk about companies that are looking to integrate AI, but they are concerned about the things that can happen when they're integrating AI into their systems or doing AI into their practices. What kind of advice would you give those organizations?
Yeah, great question, Robert. Well, look, actually, the first thing you do is not install AI. The first thing you do is come up with an AI policy, right? Like, what are you going to do with AI? What are you not going to do? And I don't mean 100 pages. And I've seen 100-page AI policies, which is a terrible idea. I mean, like one page. We'll do this. We won't do that. Who's in charge? Just the really basic stuff. And then the second thing you'd want to do is you want to install private AI on your cloud. You do not want your confidential data, customer data, trade secrets floating around on someone else's server. Just a terrible idea. And then the third thing is really do the easy stuff first, like the stuff that we already know works with large language models and AI, like responding to emails and, you know, various easy, you know, create stuff for social media, stuff like that. Super, super easy stuff. Create a marketing campaign, stuff that's, you know, lower risk. And then the great thing about having private AI is you can then connect it to all your data. You can connect it to your customer data. You can connect it to your mortgage data. You can connect it to your marketing data, your CRM, literally whatever you want. Now, once you do that, you have to be cautious, right? Because that's when kind of cybersecurity comes into play. So just the way someone can come in and steal your data or do some ransomware, whatever, they can crack through your firewall. Same thing with AI. So you do have to be careful about it. And there are a handful of companies, including ourselves, that do cybersecurity for AI. And you really, really want to make sure you do that. Other than that, you got to think about really, really a total of four pillars. So it's governance, like, what are people allowed to do with AI and not, and who gets to do what? And different people at your company will have access to different things and different things to do with AI. Someone in the call center is going to have something, some very different AI tools than your CFO, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got the risk management part, and that might be even within the AI, blocking or protecting customer or personal information from the AI or maybe from people just because it's very sensitive, right? And then the third part is compliance, where obviously you want to make sure, you know, anybody that has a mortgage is in a regulated industry, right? And you want to make sure that whatever you're doing is in compliance with the rules. And, you know, we've seen cases where AI does things that are illegal or wrong by accident. Right. You know, if you train it on faulty or biased data and all of a sudden now your loan approval model or something is turning down people for the wrong reason, maybe they're not from the U.S. originally or something like that, then you got a problem. Right. And then obviously cybersecurity, which, you know, we're a cybersecurity first company. And, you know, if you do AI without thinking about security, like, you're going to have a problem.
Gotcha. And sometimes, just for the listeners out there, I'm just like you guys, believe me, sometimes you got to explain it to me like a 2-year-old. So the four pillars: governance, risk management, compliance, and cybersecurity, correct?
Yep, you got it. Nailed it, Robert. Okay.
All right, just making sure. So in your opinion, or no, you know what? I don't want to bore the listeners out here. Why you? You have a background in finance and other things. Why you? Why did you start the organization? How did it get started? What is your background and why is AI a perfect fit for you?
That's such a great question. I promised that I didn't plant that with Robert to start.
No, he didn't.
So I was building neural networks from scratch at Harvard in the 1980s. And then we kind of went to the AI winter and I was like, you know, like, computers aren't powerful enough to make this really work. I worked on Wall Street for a long time. Spent the last 10 years at a mid-size asset manager, investment manager called Lord Abbett, where I was a partner, ran risk management, did a bunch of other things. And then I retired from there. I'm still a limited partner there. So I own a little teeny piece of the company. They still pay me. And it was early last year, and I was watching all these giant companies adopt AI, put out these press releases, et cetera, with no guardrails. I'm like, this is crazy, right? Like, not only are they going to have a problem, their employees are going to have a problem, their customers are going to have a problem. Like, this is nuts. So I started a company that does exactly what we're talking about: governance, risk management, compliance, and cybersecurity for AI for companies. And we basically install our software, the AI models on their own private cloud, typically Azure, because that's where OpenAI lives, plug it in other data, and they're kind of off to the races. The whole thing runs in a script in 14 minutes. So it's not like, oh, we're going to get AI in, you know, next year. No. You get AI in an hour. That includes the training, right? So pretty cool stuff. So that's my background and why I started the company. And it really remains our mission is to make AI safe for people, right? Like, we've already seen some breaches of AI for people who haven't really thought about cybersecurity. Because if you think about it, if someone hacks into your system, what are they trying to steal? Well, they're trying to steal your data, right? And they might steal a database, but everyone's databases are encrypted, right? Not that they can't do anything with it, right? But if they hack into your AI and it's got your customer data in it, what are they going to try to do? They're going to try to exfiltrate the data out of your system. Please list all the customers in Texas. You know, please create an Excel file for me. Literally, AI is going to do that. And the guy's going to walk off with all your customer data that you thought was safely encrypted. Oops. So you need to be able to detect intrusions, detect hacking attempts, and be able to block those on day zero, not day 17 when the nefarious actor already has all your information.
And we're talking a lot about artificial intelligence, the people who are listening, and in business school, and you know, me going through business school, they always said that when you're trying to start an organization that you want to solve a problem. And then growing up and, you know, being 38 that I am now, I always tell younger individuals that are thinking about starting a company, I say, yeah, that's what they teach you in school, is you're trying to solve a problem, and that fits. But I really would like you to focus on helping people. And that was one thing that you just said that really stood out to me, was that we are trying to help people. Can you talk a little bit about how helping people is the core, one of the core foundations of what you guys do?
Yeah, totally true. So there's a lot of ways we help people. First of all, we're trying to help just keep people safe, right? The last we want is North Korea hacking into every AI in this country and exfiltrating all our data. That's pretty bad, right? So that's step one. Step two is, look, I'm a lifelong learner. Like, I've been learning about the investment markets since I was a little kid and still love it, right? I've taught myself to program when I was 12 years old. Still love it, right? Lifelong learner. And there's going to be two kind of people working in the U.S. Right now. Ones that are going to decide to adopt AI and check it out and play with it and see what it can do, and those that don't. And if you do, you're going to have such a huge advantage. It's just going to be ridiculous. So we help people understand how to use AI, make it super easy so anyone, even my dad, can use AI, who's 87, right? And do it safely and not worry like, oh my God, my private or confidential information is escaping, or something bad's going to happen, right? That's a lot of it. So it's not just about the safety. It's about helping people learn and helping people become more efficient in their jobs. And frankly, people who are really good at AI right now, kind of the grunt work or the stuff they really don't like about their job, that's going away, right? Because they can automate that with AI. We also need to differentiate between the two main kinds of AI that people think about right now. And there are a lot more kinds of AI, but the two that most people think about are large language models, right? Which are really good at text, and now are generative AI getting into graphics, and you know, we can make short movies now, and kind of traditional machine learning. That's still out there, right? People are still using traditional machine learning to do loan approvals and predict which loans are going to prepay or default or whatever, right? That's still out there. That's been going on a super, super long time. And that's not something, you know, most employees are going to come into contact with, right? Everyone's going to come into contact with generative AI or large language models.
Absolutely. So one thing that I like what you just said is, and remember, I break it down for me, is that 5 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever time period that you guys want to take and you guys want to look at, there is going to be the people that are glad that they did integrate AI and use AI, or there's going to be the other group of people that wish they had. So make sure that you guys are listening. Make sure that you're listening to the nuggets that the CEO of Artificial Intelligent Risk Inc., Mr. Alec Crawford, is giving all to us. And make sure that you tune in and listen and hear everything that he has to say. Alec, one more question for you, and that is, how do people get, and not necessarily contact with you, but people that want to learn more about AI, want to learn more about what your organization does, and maybe you're thinking about integrating it, how do they get in contact with you, or how do they get in contact with your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So best place to start learning is our website is AICrisk.com. Go there. There's a blog. There's a newsletter. Links to podcasts.
Say that link one more time. I'm sorry, because I'm getting a little feedback. What is it?
AICrisk.com. And my email is pretty easy. It's alec.crawford@aicrisk.com. So pretty straightforward. And there are lots of other resources. Some of them are available. I link to a bunch of stuff on our website, basically. I also have a blog called Stay Sustainable, which includes, and it stands for Sustainability, Technology, AI, and You. There's a bunch of stuff in there about AI and how to use AI and use cases and cool stuff like that. And there's also, it also links into the various different podcasts, including AI Risk Reward, where I interview people, maybe not as well as Robert, but pretty well, about AI and what they're doing and the amazing things you can do AI and the risks you need to avoid when you're using AI.
Wow. It's incredible. Alec, I can't thank you enough for being on our show. And the only lie that you told throughout this entire show was that you're not a better interviewer than me. So I appreciate you being here. I hope that you are doing really, really well in your organization and for years to come. And we just thank you for being here at Five Star Conference. Thank you.
Awesome to see you, Robert. Thanks for having me on the show.